Chapter 10. Within a few hours of discovering Lumia's trail in Fellowship Plaza, Luke, Mara, and their two detective companions were following an Amoydian building manager down a Larmel stone hall on the 300th floor of the opulent Zorp House apartment tower. Luke had talked Ratu out of calling an entering capture team, but just barely, by pointing out that SWAT droids were hardly inconspicuous. Lumia would have sensed the agitation of any bystanders who happened to see them moving into position and fled before they could capture her. But Saba Sebatine and two other Jedi were stationed outside as backup, posing as maintenance workers on a hover sled just around the corner. The building manager stopped next to an expensive mahogany side table, then pointed down the hall to a double-sliding door of polished brass.
"That's 307-12," he whispered.
"You're sure it's theirs?"
Tozer asked. Like Ratu, the Bith was convinced that Lumia had an accomplice. Luke and Mara were not arguing the point, especially since there had been two sets of footprints in the hedges. The Nemoidian spread his leathery hands.
"There are 25,000 apartments in Zorp House," he said. "I can't know who lives in them all."
"But this is where the security cam keeps malfunctioning?" Luke asked. The Nemoidian nodded his flat-faced head.
"And that is the only apartment whose door never opens when the cam is working."
Mara calmed Saba, telling her they were about to go in. Ratu drew his blaster and started down the hall, pulling the Nemoidian along beside him.
"Buzz them," Ratu ordered. "Say you've been getting a smoke alert for their apartment, and you want to be sure they're okay."
"Me?"
The Nemoidian glanced warily at Ratu's blaster, then at Luke and Mara.
"Isn't the tenant dangerous?"
"Are you refusing to cooperate with a criminal investigation?" Ratu demanded.
"You won't have to go inside," Tozer said, speaking to the manager over his partner's shoulder. "We're just trying to find out if they're home."
The Nemoidian's pace remained unenthusiastic, but he did go to the door and do as he was asked. As they waited for a response, Luke extended his force awareness into the apartment, searching for any glimmer of a presence that would suggest someone hiding inside. He felt nothing, but that meant little. Lumia would certainly be capable of hiding her force presence. When no answer came after the second buzz, the Nemoidian said,
"It seems they're not home."
He turned to leave.
"If you need me, I'll be down in my—"
"Not yet."
Ratu caught his arm and pointed at the security panel.
"The universal code."
The Nemoidian's relief flooded the force.
"Of course."
He extended a finger and reached for the keypad.
"If you'd be kind enough to avert your eyes."
A prickle of danger sense raced down Luke's spine, and he and Mara cried out in unison, "Don't!" Luke used the force to pull the Nemoidian's hand away from the panel, then stepped forward. "I think it's been altered."
"Altered?" the Nemoidian asked. "That's impossible. No one but our maintenance personnel can—"
He let his explanation trail off when Luke ignited his Shoto's short blade and carefully began to cut the security panel out of the wall.
"Have you gone space sick?" the Nemoidian cried. "Who's going to pay for that?"
"I hope you're not trying to deny us access to the apartment," Ratu said. "Harboring terrorists results in a total property forfeiture."
"Who's harboring terrorists?"
The Nemoidian threw up his hands.
"Fine. I'll write it off as tenant damages."
Luke finished cutting, then deactivated his weapon and carefully pulled the unit out of the wall. Attached to one side was a small thermal detonator, with a thin signaling wire running from the security pad to its trigger.
"Well, at least we know we're at the right apartment," Mara said.
She reached over and depressed the detonator's safety, then broke the signaling wires, detached the casing from the security panel, and slipped it into her pocket for safekeeping. Luke held the security panel out toward the Nemoidian. "Now you can enter the code." The Nemoidian stared at the keypad for a moment, then began to shake and look toward Luke.
"Red 7, blue 12, green 00.
Luke entered the code, and the doors slid open. Without waiting to be dismissed, the Nemoidian spun around and tried to leave again. Luke caught his arm. "Wait here," he ordered. "You'll be safe in the hall, and I'll know if you try to leave." The Nemoidian's face paled to ivory.
"Of course. I'm happy to assist the Alliance any way I can."
Ratu patted the fellow's cheek.
"That's a good citizen. Coruscant needs more like you."
Luke led the way into the apartment. It was smaller than he had expected, and surprisingly cozy, with a sunken seating area in front of the entertainment wall. The rest of the walls were decorated with reproductions of famous artwork from across the galaxy, including a holographic copy of Leia's own Killick Twilight. But the thing that most surprised Luke were the mirrors. There was at least one on every wall, all carefully arranged so that it was possible to see any corner of the room by looking into the appropriate combination of mirrors. Luke motioned to Ratu and Tozer to remain where they were. Then he and Mara went into the bedroom and checked the closet and refresher to make certain Lumia was not hiding anywhere. By the time they returned to the main room, the two detectives were already emerging from the kitchen area. "Didn't I ask you to stay by the door?"
"You asked," Ratu replied. "She's not in the kitchen."
"Not in there either," Mara said, hooking a thumb toward the bedroom. "Looks like we missed her."
"She'll be back."
Tozer pointed to a bouquet of blue, long-stalked puffballs sitting in the middle of the dining table, then smiled and stepped over to smell them.
"Nobody puts out fresh flowers unless they're coming—" "No!"
This time it was Mara who force-jerked a potential victim out of danger. She floated him to the opposite side of the room, then said,
"I wouldn't do that."
Tozer flared his cheek folds in irritation.
"Why not?"
"Sith specialize in tricks and traps." Luke took Ratu's datapad, then snapped an image of the flowers and requested an identification.
"That's why we wanted you to stay in the main room," Mara explained. "Everything in this place is a potential trap."
The datapad beeped, and Luke looked down to find a name and description of the flower. "Nerf scourge," he reported. "An overdose of pollen causes nerve damage in most species."
"Oh."
Ratu glanced around the room a couple of times, then followed Tozer out into the hallway to wait with the building manager.
"You can just dictate a record of what you find into the datapad."
"Good idea."
Mara pointed Luke toward the kitchen.
"You take the galley. The last thing I want is you rooting around in an old girlfriend's bedroom."
"No worries." Luke flashed a roguish grin. "Nothing in there I haven't seen before." Mara shot him a look that could have melted a comet, then waved him into the kitchen.
"Get busy. This woman is after our son, remember?"
Luke went into the kitchen and began to look through processing units and storage containers. He quickly learned that Lumia lived almost entirely on juice and protein drinks. Not too surprising, given the challenges of maintaining a body that was as much cybernetic as flesh. But he found nothing to suggest how she had known Ben would be in Fellowship Plaza last night. No eavesdropping equipment tucked away in a cabinet, no electro-binoculars hanging from a drawer knob, no holocam recharger sitting on the counter. Nothing. Luke turned back toward the living room and saw Mara's reflection staring at him out of a mirror. She seemed more beautiful than ever, her hair a deeper red, her face a little fuller and less lined.
"Notice anything?"
She was speaking from the bedroom, but thanks to the reflection, Luke felt as though he were looking directly into her eyes.
About the mirrors, I mean.
Of course, Luke said. They're everywhere, and you can see the entire apartment from anywhere.
Mara appeared disappointed. Not that, she said. They distort your image, make you appear more attractive from every angle.
Okay. Now I see it, Luke said.
Like you said, Sith are all about illusions and deception, Mara said, even when they're alone. Know what else I found?
Her datapad? Luke asked hopefully.
Sorry.
Mara emerged from the bedroom empty-handed, and he turned to face her. The real her, which he thought was even more beautiful than the enhanced reflections.
Nothing. No luggage, no power cells, no toolkits.
Luke frowned. No replacement parts? Mara shook her head.
Not a one.
Replacement parts? Ratu asked from the door.
Cybernetic replacement parts, Luke answered. Lumia is as much machine as human, and that means she needs to maintain herself.
Exactly, Mara said. All Luke has is one mechanical hand, and he has to keep half a kilo of parts handy, or risk not being able to cut his own nerf stake. Lumia must carry a small workshop around.
Tozer raised his brow.
So if her tools aren't here...
Then neither is Lumia.
Ratu let out a vile Rhodian curse.
Someone warned her we were coming.
No.
Mara went into the bedroom, then returned with an elegant taffeta skirt and tunic set.
She intends to come back sometime. No woman would take her luggage and leave this behind. At least not one who has so many of these mirrors.
So she's just taking a trip somewhere, Ratu said. That means she had to arrange transport.
He entered the room, took the datapad from Luke, and went over to the entertainment wall. He started to jack it into the central comport, then suddenly stopped and looked over his shoulder for reassurance. Luke did not sense any danger. It's safe, he said. But I don't see what...
The law enforcement tools provision, Ratu explained. I can recall all data accessed from this origination point any time in the last month.
He jacked in, then began to punch the keypad furiously. A moment later, a section of the entertainment wall activated, displaying a record of data accesses from that location. He selected travel, and a map showing the location of the Bothan embassy appeared.
What the blazes? Tozer cried. That doesn't make any sense.
It does if Lumia killed the ambassador, Mara said. See what other locations she's looked up.
Ratu tapped a few more keys, and a long list of addresses in the Bothan quarter appeared. Before Luke could request it, Ratu had already asked for a list of corresponding names. As soon as names started appearing, Tozer gasped,
It's her! She's the one who's been killing Bothans!
Luke and Mara shared a glance, silently asking each other if they needed to share something that Omis had told them the night before about the Bothan murders. As Ratu continued to scroll through the long file, Tozer pulled out his comlink and started to open a channel. Mara reached over and stopped him.
You might want to wait until you're back at headquarters.
Ratu craned his green neck around. The lips of his green snout pulled back into a threatening snarl.
This is a law enforcement matter.
It's also a political minefield. Luke pointed at the names on the screen. Those dead Bothans were all members of the True Victory Party. Ratu's snarl vanished, and Tozer immediately snapped his comlink shut.
We'll wait, the Bith said.
Good idea. Mara said. What I want to know is how Lumia got their membership list.
Let's see if I can sniff that out, Ratu said.
He typed a few more commands. Then a message came up asking for a password. He tapped the keys some more, and another message appeared, GAG access only. Ratu disconnected his datapad so fast that its speaker popped, and Tozer let his chin fall to his chest.
Crimey, the Bith said. Now we're just borked.
A second message appeared on the wall screen. Your attempt to breach security has been noted.
How did Lumia slice into GAG files? Mara asked.
Luke didn't bother guessing. He was beginning to fear the answer was a lot less complicated than they realized, and the thought was causing an icy lump to gather in his belly. He stepped over to the apartment door and motioned the building manager over. What's the name on this lease?
Defula, the Nemoidian informed him. Bant Defula.
Defula? Mara asked, coming up behind Luke. Who's his employer?
The Nemoidian removed a small datapad from his robe pocket and tapped in a command.
My records indicate that he's a senior executive with Astro Tours Limited.
Never heard of them, Mara said. What's their comm code?
The Nemoidian turned his datapad so she could see. Mara frowned.
That's the same suffix as GAG's code.
Luke looked at the number and frowned himself. Maybe it's just a coincidence, he said. Just because two comm codes have the same suffix doesn't always mean they're related.
No, but it usually does,
Mara said. She turned to Ratu.
See what you can find out about Astro Tours.
Ratu kept his hands away from the datapad.
Does it have anything to do with GAG?
That's what we're trying to find out, Luke said. Go ahead. You've already tripped their security gate. The Rhodian let out a reluctant nose whistle, but quickly brought up a poorly done information page advertising Outer Rim adventure cruises with stops at rugged worlds such as Hoth, Geonosis, and Dagobah.
Who'd want to go to Geonosis? Tozer asked scornfully. It's nothing but a bug nest.
I think that's the point. Nobody would,
Mara said.
And Hoth and Dagobah aren't exactly vacation paradises either.
I don't know, Luke said. Dagobah's all right.
Only if you enjoy feeding leech wings, Mara retorted.
She shook her head in disgust, then entered the comm code the building manager had provided for the renter. A moment later she arched her brow, then turned to Luke with a worried expression, but spoke into the comlink.
Corporal LeCouf, why am I not surprised?
Luke suddenly found himself very angry. If Astro Tours Limited was a GAG front company, then Lumia had not sliced into the GAG files. She had been given access to them. He pulled his own comlink and tried to open a channel to Ben, but Ben's comlink was still being blocked, probably because he was still in the security zone around Crickspace, or already aboard the Anakin Solo.
Don't bother denying it, Mara was saying to LeCouf. I recognize your voice.
Luke took the comlink from Mara, then said, Corporal, this is Grandmaster Skywalker of the Jedi Order. Do you know whether Colonel Solo and my son have already boarded the Anakin Solo?
The Anakin Solo, sir?
LeCouf did his best to sound confused.
Don't play stupid.
Luke held the comlink between him and Mara so she could hear, too.
This is my son we're talking about.
LeCouf hesitated, then said,
I believe they have, yes. GAG was scheduled to take her out on a short shakedown.
Then contact Crickspace and tell them to delay the Anakin's departure, Luke said. If Lumia was working with GAG, then she was working with Jason, too. My son is not going anywhere with Colonel Solo. Do you understand? LeCouf's only reply was a nervous silence.
He asked if you understood, Mara snapped.
I understand, ma'am, LeCouf said. But I'm afraid what Grandmaster Skywalker asks is impossible. The Anakin left for Hapes an hour ago.
Hapes? Luke asked.
He felt Mara take his comlink from his belt. Since he was still speaking to LeCouf on hers,
then saw her slip away to start making arrangements to follow.
"Did I hear you correctly?"
"You did," Lakauf confirmed. "Apparently the terrorists have attempted to assassinate Queen Mother Tenelka. She's requested Colonel Solo's aid in rooting them out."
Luke fell silent for a moment,
trying to decide whether Lakauf was telling the truth or trying to throw him off the track of some other operation.
"Your son will be safe, sir," Lakauf said. "He's very well trained. I've worked with him myself."
Seeing that he had little choice at the moment but to accept what Lakauf was telling him, Luke said,
"This had better be the truth, Corporal."
"It is, sir."
Lakauf paused, then added in a reassuring tone,
"Colonel Solo took a quarter of GAG along. I'd be with him myself, except I'm on desk duty, because I twisted my knee a couple of days ago."
"Very well."
Luke glanced back at Ratu and Tozer, who were still staring at the last message on the wall screen and having a hissed debate about what they should do. "There was an accidental attempt to access GAG files from your safe house on the 300th floor of Zorp House," Luke said. "I'd like you to ignore it."
"Consider it done," Lakauf said. "And don't worry about your son. He'll be fine."
"I hope so, Corporal."
Luke closed the channel and turned to find Mara already talking on the comlink she had taken from him.
"Hangar in 20 minutes," she was saying. "I want the shadow prepped and ready to go."